The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's an honor. Today is Monday, May the 9th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. Today on May 9th, 1994, South Africa's newly elected parliament chose Nelson Mandela to be the country's first black president. Today in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson, acting on a joint congressional resolution, he signed a proclamation designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. We celebrated Mothers on Mother's Day yesterday. I hope you had a great day. I hope you were with family and people who, all of you mothers, who told you how great you are because you are and how much they loved you because I'm sure they do. Today in 1951, the U.S. conducted its first thermonuclear experiment by detonating a 225-kiloton device on an atoll in the Pacific. Today in 1962, scientists at MIT succeeded in reflecting a laser beam off the surface of the moon. A lot of people who spend a lot of time studying and keeping up with all of the military technology in the world so on say that the laser beams are, and they've been saying this for quite some time, are certainly the future as far as being able to destruct things and win wars. And that's really what wars are about. And we have a generation in America today that I wonder what they would think, a lot of them, because of their so-called education. They know a lot about pronouns, but they know very little about real life. But anyway, I guess the laser is the is a very important factor in our technology and our national security. So bouncing one off the moon back in 1962 was probably a pretty good leap forward. 10 years ago today, President Barack Obama declared his unequivocal, his word, support for same-sex marriage in a historic announcement. Came 3 days after his vice president, Joe Biden, spoke in favor of such unions on NBC's Meet the Press. He immediately then, Vice President Joe, began to take credit for influencing President Barack Obama to change his mind because he had earlier said that he thought marriage was between a man and a woman. But on this day, 10 years ago, he decided that was not true. Nope, everybody's been wrong in the history of the world. Marriage is now with whomever you love. There was a woman in Seattle a couple of years ago. I mentioned this on this program. I doubt that any of you would remember it, but it came to my mind even at this moment. She married. Marriage was being discussed as it continues to be today, what it is and all that kind of stuff. But she married a building in Seattle. I think it was in Belltown or somewhere. And made national news. That's how crazy we can get if we step away from the guidance of something that is secure, something that is eternal, something that is not evolving all the time, the Bible. And that's why our country prospered so much when we, in the early days of this nation, because the guys that created this nation were fixed on the idea that there are eternal principles and truth in this world, and it is specifically related to the Bible. And they said that. And it was on those principles and truths that they drew to create our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and certainly our Constitution. I have said this before, but I think it cannot be repeated too often. They were, as human nature is, they were unable to get along in that constitutional meeting when they were writing the Constitution. They were back and forth. They got upset. Some of the guys left. I mean, they just walked out. They said, well, this isn't going anywhere. We're never going to get a document and so on. And they were upset at some of their colleagues, and they left. And they got them back together again. And Ben Franklin, I mentioned this last week, but it just bears repeating. Ben Franklin said, guys, and he was the least spiritual of all of them in the room. I mean, really, he was. And he said, guys, how about we start every day with prayer? Because otherwise, we're not going to have a country. We're not going to have a constitution, a guiding document. And it was in those prayer. I mean, they even argued over that, but they got past that argument, and they did start praying every day for God to help them. And he did. And that's how this nation was birthed, on God's principles. Whether you are religious or not, they came to a point, and most of them were very much so, very Christian, but they came to a point where they said, this is what will work politically and socially, even though it's a spiritual document. Today, every effort is made to expunge any kind of spiritual document that has to do with the Bible or Christianity. We have flipped what America was founded to be on its head to make it something very, very different. That's why we talk about the issues of the day, and we talk about them from a biblical perspective. And I know I mentioned a lady that had written a letter to me or a note to me last. I mentioned it on Friday, I think. But, and I get this from time to time, not very often, really, but occasionally people will say, I can't take any more of the news. I've been listening to you. I appreciate what you're trying to do. Or sometimes they hate what I'm trying to do, but they say, well, but I just can't take it anymore. I don't want to hear any news. I'm out. I'm going to just isolate myself and all that. Well, that's, first of all, it's almost impossible in the world we live in. I mean, because the news, quote unquote, is everywhere. But we've got to know what's going on in our culture if we can even have any expectation of living up to what Jesus told us to do. And if we're Christians, we're supposed to be following Jesus. And we're supposed to be following to the best of our ability with the power of the Holy Spirit within us as Christians. We're supposed to be following what he taught and what he told us to do, empowered by his Spirit. So how can we impact the culture? How can we be salt or light, for that matter, if we don't even understand the culture, if we don't even know what's going on? Jesus immersed himself into the culture, and he talked to the woman at the well that other people were going, oh, no, I mean, they wouldn't get near this person. So we've got to immerse ourselves. We have to be in the world, not of the world, but in the world to understand. So I want to thank all of you who support this ministry and help us do just that to the best of our ability every day, originating live. And it takes a good effort on our side of it here, us and others at ACN and other stations are helpful, especially ACN and Tom Reed are helpful to what we're doing. And I am grateful for them and to them for all they do. And I am grateful to you for supporting it. We can continue each day as your support continues. Thank you. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. Or you can go on our website, Faith and Freedom, A&D Freedom, all one word, .us. And you can make a donation there. And there's other important information on our website as well, including a library. You may not have known that, but historic documents and stuff. So you can check that out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I understand that these few verses here have been misappropriated. There are people that have used them to create a messaging that Jesus isn't saying here. But neither is Jesus saying that we should be obsessed, that we should not have any interest, and obsessed with not taking any thought of what we would eat or drink. He's talking about being obsessed the other way, in other words, fretting about it. In fact, he's even talking about being overcome by anxiety about what are we going to eat? We're not going to have any food. I mean, the transportation, the social collapse we're seeing in America, the transportation systems have been impacted. We're not able to move goods, and the supply chain is being challenged and being affected in a negative way, and so on. I think we're going to probably see more of those kinds of things as a result of the kind of leadership that we have in America today, and thus the world, because the world, whether they like us or love us or hate us, they still look to America for leadership, and there is none in America. We have a hollow office in the sense of leadership. There is no leadership in America today. It's just get up every day and say the same old tired things repetitiously over and over again by the left, and they take every opportunity to push America further and further away from our founding principles and closer to the cliff, to the absolute drop-dead cliff of disaster with the kinds of policies that they're putting in place. And I don't say that politically, I say that spiritually. But God tells us, and I mean, we know the impact it has on our family. Inflation is not just something that it's something that's happening in Washington, D.C. Inflation happens at your grocery store and at your gas station and mine. I mean, man, you fill up your car with gas and you go, what? I mean, just from a year ago, these policies are destructive, most of them that are being put in place now, and those that they're advocating for are very destructive. So God is saying to us, don't become obsessed about, you know, what am I going to do? I mean, sometimes we don't know what we're going to do, but God does. And the point is that God is saying to us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These other things are going to fall in place. God is going to help you. God is going to provide. And God is in control of all things all the time. God existed before time. God exists after time. He circumscribes time as we know it. He is in control of all things. All things will be added unto you as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll tell you, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas told a gathering on Thursday, this past Thursday, He said, we can't, as an institution, talking about the Supreme Court, we can't be bullied into giving you the outcomes you want, he told the crowd. He said, we won't do it. He was speaking to the Judicial Conference, the 11th Circuit. Each federal appellate court is under the supervision of one of the 9 Supreme Court justices. Thomas is a Georgia native. So he's the circuit justice over that court. He has jurisdiction as a Supreme Court justice. He has jurisdiction over Georgia, Alabama, and Florida. That's kind of how it's set up. And there's districts all around the country under which they're under one of these 9 Supreme Court justices. And his is, as I said, Georgia, Alabama, and Florida. But the elephant in the room, as they say in his speech, was that no one can ignore this leaked draft opinion. It's touching every part of our life and our conversation. That's a big deal. And they're trying to figure out who did it. And as of this morning, they don't know, or they're not saying. I mean, they may know, but they're not saying. But in this context, these militant leftists have been pressuring justices to switch their votes on Roe v. Wade. This thing was leaked, and we saw where everybody was, and Roe v. Wade gets flipped. I mean, it's overturned. That doesn't mean there's not going to be abortion. I wish it did, but that doesn't mean that. I mean, I wish abortion was illegal. I know about the coat hangers and all that. I've heard that a million times. But looking at it, again, through the truth of God's word, We ought not to be killing unwanted babies. Murder is wrong. God opposes murder, and that's murder. So I wish we could overturn Roe v. Wade and there wouldn't be any more abortions. I mean, there'd be no legal abortions and no illegal ones. But that's in a perfect world. But I wish Roe v. Wade had a greater, overturning it had a greater impact than it will have even. But they're running around here, these guys, like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Overturning Roe v. Wade doesn't just make all abortion illegal. It puts it back to the states, which issues like this should go back to the states, and the states deal with it state by state. So that's why they're trying to pressure the Supreme Court once to get a justice or two to change their mind or to cave under pressure and say, well, I've taken a closer look at this, and after giving it a lot of consideration and blah, 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 I'm thinking I'm going to change my vote. That's what they're trying to do. And the media and the political elite on the left, they're trying to squeeze these guys on the court who are voting in favor of life and against very bad legislation. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that Roe v. Wade, the decision was very flawed. And she was concerned. She was very pro-abortion. She said, I'm very concerned about it because I think it can be overturned on the basis of the way it's constructed. So she was a great advocate for abortion or women's rights and all these little buzzwords they've attached to abortion. It's just abortion. I mean, that's what it is. It's killing unwanted babies. But she was very much an advocate for that. But she said it was very weak legislation, and she was pretty sure it would get overturned. They didn't want to hear that from her, but she said that often. But now we're at this point, and now they're trying to present it as something beyond what it is. And as I said, I wish it were, but it isn't. But it's a huge step in the right direction toward pro-life. But there's no body that has had any less opposition than Clarence Thomas. From the time that Joe Biden, who was chairman of the committee, the judicial committee, began the hearing on his nomination all those years ago, I remember it well. They were going after Clarence Thomas because they figured out he was conservative. It didn't matter that he was black. It matters now. In fact, our president would only nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. Her abilities, her experience did not come to play first and foremost. It may have existed, but it was way down the line. The first thing that the president said is she has to be black, she has to be a woman. I don't even know how he would define a woman, but maybe he can't. Some of his people can't. But that was the criteria. But with Clarence Thomas, oh no, we don't care what color his skin is. We just don't like his politics because he's a conservative. He's a consistent, true, wonderful man and a conservative. And they will have none of it. And they will do anything now as they were trying to do 30 years ago to destroy him. And that's what is happening today in our world. And then the other white guys on there, on the Supreme Court, or girls, as is the case with Amy Coney Barrett, if they're not pro-abortion, we've got to figure out how to destroy them. It's not a matter, when you hear these people say, we need unity, we need to come together, that's a lie. They don't want to come together. They want to fold everyone who disagrees with their satanic sometimes and always almost always godless ideas. They want to fold everyone, particularly our children, into that fold so that we all march in lockstep. And then they would call that unity because we have all been forced to believe or act like we believe the same thing. That's what's going on in our world. I didn't mean to get that deep into that, but I don't know. It's been heavy on my heart recently, and we've just got to have an understanding of it. I mean, that's what's going on. this whole nonsense of we got to come together and all, we just have to unify our nation. That's baloney. We're not going to unify this nation. We're not going to. I don't think, as Abraham Lincoln said some in his time, he said, I don't think it's going to fall, but he said, we're not going to continue to be a divided house. I don't think so either. But I just think there's an awakening going on that the press is missing or purposely not reporting on. People are waking up, and certainly Christians are, and they're saying, wow, you know, what's going on here? I mean, how did I miss this? We better look at, you know, did you guys know about this? Yeah, we've known about it for several years, and so on. That's happening. But what is also happening is that people that were kind of just going along, and it was socially acceptable to be, you know, a leftist or a progressive or a Democrat or whatever, they've just been going along with this, and they've come to a point now where all of a sudden they're saying, have I been supporting CRT, critical race theory? Am I supporting all of this transgender? My 5-year-old is learning pronouns. What does that mean? I mean, this is what's happening in little discussions all around the country today. I think this is the time for conservatives and particularly biblical Christians to step up and say, this is what's happening. This is what it means. This is the answer. And basically, Jesus is the answer. But as we look at the answer in terms of societal and political terms, this is the answer. We need to begin on really basic, like there are many human beings living on this earth, 7-point-some billion of us, and they're male and they're female. And then there are a bunch of confused people that have tried to co-opt some of whatever in our government who say they don't know or they identify as either or both, or it's back and forth, it's fluid. I mean, people are starting to say, what? I wasn't aware of that. I mean, that's why these school board meetings are being packed out and canceled in some cases, because they don't want the parents there. And they didn't want the parents to know about what was happening in the first place. So that's why all of this is so important, that we just keep abreast of it, but we not keep putting all of this on our back trying to carry this burden, because it'll break you. But we've got to know about it. But if we keep our eyes and our focus on the Lord, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things, I mean, we can handle it. We can know, and we can be the people that God has called us to be in our culture. And all of us will have varying degrees and circles of influence, but we all have some influence. I mean, there are people that care about what you think. I know sometimes you wonder, who are they? But there are. All of us have a circle of influence. And it's all different, but we have one. And when we understand, we don't have to understand all of the complexities of all this nonsense. I don't think anybody does, even the people that are creating some of this junk that they call legislation. They don't understand it. They just push it through. Like Nancy Pelosi so often says, well, we'll have to pass it before we find out what it is, or something to that effect. So, but we need to be informed, and we need to know. And that's the heart of why I do this on the radio. That's the heart of why we do what we do in this effort. And I know that many of you fully understand and support that, and that's why you stand with us financially. And I want to thank you for doing that. But the emphasis now is turned toward the Supreme Court. I wrote an article today that I would like you to read. I'm not going to go through a lot of it, but the article, I titled it, Angry Abortion Activists Go to Church. And they are going to church. They went yesterday, and they're planning to go every Sunday over the next couple of weeks. It's an attempt to intimidate and threaten people of faith. These pro-abortion protesters, they're utilizing social media to organize interruptions. As a pastor, we had an interrupted service one time. It wasn't abortion. It was over another matter. But the president of Guatemala had become a Christian and had accepted Christ. And he'd been a very evil man before that. He'd actually killed a lot of people and one thing or another. And he was horrible. And he got saved at Calvary Baptist Church in Guatemala. And the pastor called me. I knew not most, but a lot of the pastors in the country at the time. And he called me, and he got to me, and we didn't have social media then, but he told me about it, and he said it's been about a year, and he said, boy, this president really checks out. I mean, he's had a marvelous conversion to Christ. He said, you know, is there any way do you want? And I said, yeah, I'd like to have him fly up here and speak at our church, which bottom line, we did. And it got out, and people knew he was coming, and so all these hundreds of these protesters showed up at our church on a Sunday morning at our first service, and I mean they were everywhere with megaphones up and down the streets, and I mean it was really something to behold, especially back then. And so I've been through this. I understand they get, you know, and they always focus on the church if it has anything to do with the moral issue. In this case, we had wonderful services, and they were there for the second service and so on. But I understand that, and that's what they're doing if they can disrupt it. But some people are got caught completely off guard, and so they cave, and they change their positions. They change their beliefs because of the pressure put on by these people, because the church wants to be accepted, and they find all kinds of excuses, like, well, Jesus told us to be meek, so we must go along with this, and we just can't be, you know, out there, and we can't be at odds with the community, because we want to create a community here and have a community and have peace and all of this kind of thing. That isn't what God has called us to do, is to have peace. Our peace is with God, not always with everyone else. Because those who oppose God oppose you if you are of the Lord, if you are a Christian. Jesus himself went to great lengths to tell us that. So we live in a culture today that's really just boiling over. And these guys are out there, these kids, for the most part, they started yesterday, and they've been graffitiing churches and all this kind of thing, and mostly Catholic to begin with, because they're visibly, some of the Catholics are visibly pro-life. But it's going to increase over the next few weeks. So you should be prepared for that. I don't know if it'll come to your church or not, but they're going to be going to churches, disrupting the services and one thing another. And they're pretty organized. I did a lot of looking at it. And as I said, I wrote an article on that today. So I would encourage you to just read that at faithandfreedom.us. But I can see where this is going and what this is going to look like as we move forward. So just keep your eyes focused on the Lord, but stay informed and stay connected so you'll know what's going on in the culture. Maybe you can help your pastor if there's some kind of an incident at your church to understand, maybe because some of them don't, and they're going to be caught off guard. Hey, thanks for being with me today. It's always a privilege, always a pleasure. Be sure to read the article that I've just been talking about that we wrote and published overnight today. And we will continue this conversation tomorrow. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to know. But one thing is for sure, God is in control. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.